Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH. Know Your Risk Radio is hosted by Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often volatile markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
And we are back. Welcome to another of the most scintillating hours in finance radio. And when we say one of, we just mean it's one of our shows. Because without a doubt, right, this is the most entertaining and enlightening finance show, investing show out there. Even if that is due to us being a one man, it's a one horse race, right? So we can't lose, baby. We got diamond hands, as the kids say. Wall Street. Darren, are you familiar with that? Have you gotten onto that millennial Wall Street bets deal? Do you know what diamond hands are? Yeah, diamond hands. Some tendies. I love those guys. I was over at Lake Taps over the weekend with some really good friends of ours, taking the kids out, doing the boating thing. And I probably enjoy whipping kids around on an inner tube too much. There's a deep sense of joy of flipping an inner tube full of kids. Maybe that's a sick part of me. I hope other dads out there can relate. Now, not when the princess is on board, right? When my only daughter's on, we're not playing that way. That's a princess cruise. But when the boys are on there, all bets are off. We're gonna sling those suckers across the lake. So anyway, but I was over at Lake Taps, and a guy that looked like he was in his early 20s. He's driving an old Chevy Tahoe, and on the side of it, on the window, he had pointed, you know, or GME or AMC, was it one of them, to the moon, diamond hands, right? They're writing it all over the sides of their cars. I love it. It's funny. Here's the other thing. when you see 20-somethings putting stock recommendations on the side of their car, you may not be at a top, but you're getting close, right? So, and maybe not for the entire market, but certainly for those things. If you live long enough, I guess you see everything, right? So anyway, great show plan for you guys today. We are back. I was telling the people on KTTH this on the 3-minute warm-up. And yes, unfortunately, you guys do miss the first 3 minutes. I know it feels like highway robbery, right? But I was telling the people on the warm-up, we're getting back on the interview train. We're going to be joined today by Chase Taylor, Pinecone Macro. He's our macro guy. And we had another guy that was going to come on. But because of some of the stuff going on in the markets this week, both in terms of the movement of the markets and then also economic news, we got to have a check-in with Chase. We got to get a picture of the macroeconomic outlook. Because there is a lot of theory jumping around. A lot of people have a lot of opinions. I think a lot of it doesn't make any sense. So Chase is going to help us wade through that. So we're going to be joined with him. I believe we're going to go for an hour. We're probably only going to air about 10 minutes of that on the show because we do have some things that we have to get to. So first of all, on the market update, what's happening this week? Funny enough, we don't have a lot of movement from last week. Let's see. On the NASDAQ, let's pull up the NASDAQ because that's obviously the one to watch here. But yeah, you know, last week you're bumping around. Going back, yeah, you're right around that 14,635 level. Today we're at 14,682. We're still kind of bumping around right in that. Is it a breakout? Yes, it's a breakout on a technical basis. But again, you need to see more follow through here. And it looks like it wants to. Like I've told you guys, you know, valuations be damned. It doesn't matter. Not in this market. Not at this point. It will. But I certainly wouldn't be betting against the NASDAQ here. It's also not time to load up. Again, you're kind of in that weird middle ground. It needs to prove itself. The interesting thing, and again, this is one of the reasons I wanted to have Chase on. The really interesting thing about this action recently. Now, you got to look at the smaller ones. But a lot of value plays that we've been in at one point, some of them we've sold off because we felt they got a little too expensive. We've actually picked a couple of them back up again because value in the last 2-3 weeks has gotten shelled. Our value portfolio has been hit a little bit, not nearly as bad as is the value indexes, just because we were concerned about that. And I think you guys have heard me talking about that. But it's given us another good entrance point, because this divergence in the market is just continues to blow me away. Right? There are a lot of opportunities out there, despite how the fact that this is the most expensive stock market in history on every single metric now. And it's not close. That being said, there is a lot of really attractive stuff out there at really good prices. The market is sort of is a reflection of culture right now, in the sense that you have these stocks that are just nosebleed expensive, meaning you're going to hear people justify it and try to explain why it's just not explainable. Right? This stuff is trading completely away from any sense of fundamental valuation. Now, we've spent a lot of time talking about that. But the flip side is that there's a lot of stocks that are as equally undervalued. Just crazy, to the point where you're sitting there going, you know, we've looked at several where you're looking at them and going, holy smokes, if this company doesn't even grow, if it just keeps throwing off the same level of profit it's throwing off, you know, if I buy the stock at this price, the profit alone will pay me back my purchase over the next 3 to 4 years. Right? And remember, you still owe the stock. You still own the stock. I mean, that cheap, especially in a market this expensive, you just have this massive divergence. And you're going to hear people try to explain it because, well, that's because, you know, tech's taking over the world and, you know, this and that, blah, blah. And one of the things that I thought was funny that I was alluding to in the opening of the show today is that when you hear people, when you watch TV, if you get on CNBC or you listen to market commentators or whatever the case may be, very rarely are you going to hear them say, this is insane. Some guys will, vast majority won't. Why is that? It really comes down, in my opinion, to ignorance and arrogance. Let me explain. First of all, when anybody gets on a now there are events, right? Like last March, or, you know, the Fed drastically reducing rate. There are events that you can sit there and go, okay, the stock market shot up because of this, right? When you hear these people coming on every day, well, the market was worried. Yesterday, it was global growth fears. Today, it's that global growth fears have calmed down. Really? In a 24-hour period? There's no news that backs that up. And yet that global growth fears abate. Whenever you're listening to these people, markets go up because more people bought than sold, period. Okay, that's why. You hear it, they're always going to try. And this is where I say the ignorance plays a record, because if they honestly believe the nonsense coming out of their mouths, then they truly, what they're essentially admitting is that they don't know what they're doing. Right? They don't understand markets. Another one that I love, cash on the sidelines. It's a complete joke. There's no such thing as cash on the sidelines. There's none. There's no such thing. Complete nonsense term. Well, all that cash on the sidelines. There is no such thing as cash on the sidelines, guys. Money doesn't come out of the market and sit on the sidelines. For money to come out of the market, someone needs to sell. In order to sell, somebody else has to buy. The exact same amount of money is in the marketplace. There is no money on the sidelines. It's a complete nonsensical myth made up by Wall Street analysts. And then the funny thing is that they all repeat it. They all believe it. Right? It's sort of like we've talked about for years about the bonds. Well, the reason you got to have bonds is because they move inversely to stocks. Absolutely not true. 70% of the time over the last 100 years, stocks and bonds have moved completely independent of each other. There are no correlations. There was a period of time that followed record high interest rates and a more activist Fed, where for a 28-year period of time, mainly from 1980 to 2008, it worked that way. But you've based an investment rule now. Everybody knows that. Stocks go down, bonds go up. Oh, yeah, 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 that's the way it works. Nope. You haven't done your research. You haven't looked at the numbers. And that's what cracks me up on the Wall Street side, is nobody will ever tell you, I don't know. Why'd stocks go up today? Because more people bought than sold. That's the answer. Right? There isn't always a reason. And you know, you should be able to look at this stock market and know that. It's a market. There's somebody on the other side of the trade. And they won't ever come out and say, you know, I don't know. Because they have to have an answer. They know. They're all knowing, right? They're omniscient. It's just cracks me up. So today, you're seeing a big bounce back on the value trade. I think it's probably because people are looking at stuff I am. I mean, like I said, if you know where to look and you look at these things, there's some screaming valuations out there. It's just not in the stocks anybody's talking about. So if you've been light on value, I'm not telling you to back up the truck here, but I think that this is a level that you want to start nibbling at and selectively, right? Not a recommendation. But you're getting another shot at it. Volatility index. Let's see where the VIX is at today. You've had a big pullback. We went long the VIX last week, and thankfully we unloaded it 2 days ago. About flat on the trade, if I remember correctly. But getting a nice big pullback in VIX. I still think we got to have a bout of volatility, way more so than we saw this week at some point this summer. And I keep saying this. I keep saying that the next 2 months are going to, or the next couple weeks are going to be really telling. And it just keeps extending out. We're just not. You're not getting a definitive move one way or the other. So we got to keep an eye on that. But I was trying to explain this to some clients. It's just rotation. I mean, it's just rotation back and forth. And the single stock volatility continues to be just nosebleed levels. So anyway, we got to that. That's it for the market. I think market update, nothing other than that, nothing really interesting happened this week. The action's been interesting. The back and forth action has been interesting. The ups and downs, but not a lot of news. Volumes continue to be light, which I think will increase volatility. I just think your setup for volatility is really likely, right? Light volumes, which means the possibility for volatility is bigger. You've got the VIX down trading at 16 level right now. It's been as low as high 14s, 15. So I just look at this setup and I think where markets are at, valuations, all these things, I think about a volatility is nice. And for those people at home, you know, I wouldn't try to play that one way or try to short anything. I would just start building some cash for an opportunity. And I think, like I said, the value stuff is giving you a bit of an opportunity here to get back in. So anyway, got a great show plan. That's about it for the market update. Oh, the other thing is rates. Where's the 10-year at? 1.35. Rates continue to drop. We're going to talk to Chase about the rate thing, too. I see a lot of people hanging a lot of stuff on the interest rate argument. The problem I've got with that is I've got no clue whether we're seeing market action impact rates or whether it's central banks and the Fed. I think a lot of people are making a mistake looking at rates, trying to glean the same type of information they've gleaned from rates in the past. And they're not accounting for the fact that the biggest purchaser of rates are the central bank or bonds are the central banks. So in my opinion, rates are what the central banks want them to be. And I don't think they reflect a lot more than that. So anyway, we'll talk to Chase about that. But great show planned. Want to revisit a couple things coming up. I got a really interesting question from a new client. And it was, why do you do what you do? Why do you guys do it the way you do? So we're going to get into that. We're also going to talk about the easiest way to make 250 grand. Okay. Now stay with me. You got to have money, right? Obviously, but the easiest way to make 250 grand, we're going to walk you through that. And that's going to be revisited. We're also going to do a little bond discussion. So anyway, that's it. We got to go. Darren's looking at me like, dude, you're way over time. We got to run. We'll be right back. Oh, and I also forgot, we've got another webinar coming up, right? Our virtual roadshow coming up Thursday, July 22nd at 3 p.m. We have a cap on this, guys, at 100. We can extend it beyond that, but we can't facilitate more than 100 people at a time in terms of, you know, talking to them and contacting them. We've typically been getting 120 to 130 people or more signing up for this. We're already about a third of the way full based on people that were in reserve from last time. So it doesn't cost you anything, but sign up. Like I said, that 100-person cap on that. And what do we do with that? We walk you through the whole thing, right? We're talking about risk management. We walk you through. We show you how our portfolios have performed, so there's nothing hidden. We show you how we build the portfolios. We're going to talk about Social Security, retirement planning, estate planning, long-term care. We cover it all, our entire process that we run our clients through, Dory being one of them, right? And run you through that whole process in about 30 minutes, do a Q&A afterwards. Hopefully, get some more Q&A this time. I didn't get a lot of questions last time. I enjoy the Q&A. You can ask about stocks, any of that kind of stuff. Just kind of shooting the stuff there. Anyway, so stick with us through the break. Got that webinar coming up. Go to BulwarkCapitalManagement.com. Sign up for the webinar. Get your name in there. Like I said, the places have been going fast, and we've been filling it up. So you want to get in there. And again, you'll leave that webinar. No commitments. Doesn't cost you anything. You sit there in your house or your office. Watch us online. And we just show you the whole thing. Just this is how it works. This is what it costs. Boom, there you go. Give us a call if you're interested. Anyway, all right, got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Stick with us. This you're listening to the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach discuss key investment strategies across several asset classes, not just stocks and bonds. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
How do you know your finances and investments right now in today's economy are positioned for a successful retirement? Well, join me at Zach Abraham's Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow Thursday, July 22nd, right after my show. Zach, I'm excited to be there.
Dory, we've taken Bulwark's entire investment and retirement planning process, the same one you and Suzanne went through, and we've condensed it down into a 30-minute class. We'll answer all the big questions. Do you need estate planning? Long-term care? When should you take Social Security? How much money do you need to retire? And we're also going to show everyone who attends how to protect their portfolio against loss while still growing their assets.
Join me at the Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow with Zach Abraham, Thursday, July 22nd, right after my show at 3. Sign up now at knowyourriskradio.com. You'll get a free copy of Zach's booklet, Common Sense Investing, too. Space is limited for this free live webinar. Reserve now at knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Borough Capital's DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. All right. Now, this is going to be a little bit of a shorter segment because surprise, surprise, I went over my time in the opening segment, in the market update. So anyway, I was teasing this about how to make an easy 250 grand. And we've talked about this before several times, but I'd never really thought about it. And well, one of the cool things about this job is you're talking to new people all the time and you're talking to them about their money. So there's an engagement there. There's an interest with that topic that you wouldn't get if you were their mechanic or their real estate. You know what I mean? You really get, you know, if someone's going to sit down with a $2 million portfolio or a $5 million portfolio or $1 million, whatever the case is, and ask you to manage it, you know, they really ask thorough questions. And a lot of times those questions bring up things to me or give me angles or perspectives on things that I otherwise wouldn't have. Because we've talked about this again several times, but you can all relate in your own profession. You know, you look at things, you begin to take things for granted, or you look at things in a different light, and new perspectives are always helpful. And one of the clients, we were walking through how we did things specifically on the bond replacement side, and he had about $1 million portfolio, and he was in the 60-40, right? Standard, nonsensical, horrible. And I'm not joking, you guys, if you're still, that's the crazy thing about doing this show, and I talk to you guys all the time. We've been doing it for 6 years now, and the vast majority of you, like 98% of you, we sit down, you've still got the 60-40 stock bond portfolio. If you have that portfolio, get out. Okay, you don't have to just call it, just get out. Figure out an alternative for the bond side. It's just going to continue to kill you. So anyway, I'm going through this with this new guy. And he's got the 60-40 portfolio, and I'm walking him through the dirtiest word in investing. Looking at, well, and we talked about the real estate fund too, because, you know, the annuity, the horrible annuity word, right? The annuity is only part of it. We also use the real estate fund. A lot of times we use a balance of the two. You know, for some people, maybe the annuity isn't suitable, so we use the real estate fund. But anyway, I was walking through it and showing him the performance of the annuity, not projections, what it's done, what it's made for our clients. And he started doing the math and he's like, you know, if I would have had this instead of the bonds for the last 10 years, I'd have another $200,000 to $250,000 in my portfolio. And I just kind of sat there and looked at him and thought, you know, I'd never really thought of it that way, but you're absolutely right. You'd have another $250,000. We went through the work. And what, guys, here's what's powerful about it, and here's what opened my eyes to the annuity. I've told you guys this before. I've only been on the institutional side, right? I started working off at Russell Investments, mutual fund company manager, right? Grew up in a brokerage firm where we were doing fundings. You know, we weren't managing nearly as much retail. Worked for an investment bank down in LA. I've been on the, so to me, and because of that, I was very biased against annuities. And then I woke up and ran into these fixed index, no cap, no fee annuities. And I started looking at them at the urging of a family member, actually, who was an insurance agent. And I hadn't listened to him before because insurance agents aren't as smart as us finance guys, right? Or that's the bias. And after I started digging into it and then comparing it to bonds and yields, I realized that, yeah, we would typically add by switching out of the bonds into the annuity. First of all, everybody should know that you drastically lower your risk, right? Annuities can't lose if you use the kind that we use. They're insured against loss. If the company that you buy it from goes bankrupt, they're backed up by the state that you're in. It's one of the safest investments you can possibly have. On average, they're going to beat the bond portfolio by at these rates by 3.5-4.5%. So essentially, you're going to add 2% of performance to your portfolio per year on average, while reducing the risk and reducing the fees. So you can think whatever you want about these products. But if you want to make an extra 250 grand, now again, guys, I'm not guaranteeing it, right? And that 250 grand figure is based on $1 million portfolio. But my point is, over a 10-year period, just think about that. Over a 10-year period of time, taking less risk, paying less fees, you just add an extra 250 grand into your portfolio. Maybe it ends up being 150 grand. Maybe it doesn't perform quite as good. But the point is, it's just crazy that people aren't doing this. Just crazy. And if you think these products are bad, I would never replace a stock portfolio with them. But if you think they're bad, call us. Get our information. Just look at the other side of it. If somebody sits there and goes, hey, you realize you can lower your costs, lower your fees, and get an extra 150 to 250 grand over the next 10 years? Wouldn't you at least pay attention to it? Wouldn't you at least check it out? And then you'd sit there and think, okay, I'm listening to a guy that manages $350 million. He's been on the radio for 6 years. If he was selling snake oil, he probably still wouldn't be on the radio. He certainly wouldn't manage $350 million. It's just, and it's not about me trying to increase the business. It's sitting there looking at this and going, guys, this is like a life hack. Someone's just trying to give you an extra couple hundred grand here with no risk, with less risk. Who cares what the investment's called? How does it perform? What does it do for you? And if that interests you and you're sitting in a 60-40 portfolio, for God's sakes, take the 3 minutes it requires to call us and just get the information. Who couldn't use an extra 200 grand? Anyway, you guys know the drill. Call us, 866-779-RISK and 866-779-RISK. Go to Bulwark Capital Management. Got the virtual roadshow coming up Thursday, July 22nd at 3 p.m. We'll also talk about this fixed index annuity with no cap, no fee versus bonds. We'll talk about it on the virtual roadshow. So if you've got questions, if you doubt what I'm saying, just sign up for the virtual roadshow and we'll see it there. Or you can just call us and we can talk about it and set up a meeting. Just do it over the phone. But for God's sakes, take the 3 minutes to invest in the rest of your life. Anyway, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. We got an interview with Chase Taylor coming up in a couple segments. You're not going to want to miss it. This is the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
Do better in bull markets. Do better in bear markets. Pay less fees in all markets. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management. You can subscribe to Zach's free newsletter, The Bulwark Insider Report, at knowyourriskradio.com.
How do you know your finances and investments right now in this economy are positioned for a successful retirement? Well, you can join me at Zach Abraham's Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow, Thursday, July 22nd, right after my show. Zach, now's the time for everyone to take a hard look at their investment strategy.
Dory, there could not be a more prescient time. I'll answer all the big questions on investors' minds because I can promise you if you're incorporating some of the long-running investment strategies in today's markets, like a basic 60-40 stock bond portfolio, you're taking a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement.
Learn all about Zach's retirement planning and investment strategies at his Know Your Risk virtual roadshow, Thursday, July 22nd. I'll be there too, right after my show at 3. Space is limited for this free live webinar. Make your reservation now at knowyourriskradio.com. That's knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement with the firm's licensed stock business. Borrow Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Thank you for sticking with us. Okay, so now, this was funny. Again, I always say this. We've talked around this topic before. But again, this was kind of a show based on what people had been asking me recently. And somebody asked me a really good question. Again, a new client. And they looked at me and they go, Zach, why do you do what you do? And I looked at them, I go, what do you mean? What do you, in what aspect? And they go, well, you guys do it very differently. Right? Everywhere else I've been is, buy and hold. You guys are active managers. You don't do the same thing with bonds that everybody else does. You don't do mutual funds. You trade individual stocks. And he goes, that's got to be a lot harder. And I kind of looked at him and I was like, that's the first time anybody said that to me. Well, talking to a client, for instance. And I kind of smiled and looked at him and I go, that's the first, and I told him that. I go, that's the first time anybody said that to me. And I go, you're 100% right. Not only is it harder, but it costs me a lot more money. And one of the reasons it costs us a lot more money doesn't really have to do with the investment side. So if you look at our firm, we manage about $350 million altogether. We actively manage in our stock portfolios right around $200 million, which is good size, but there's a lot of other RIAs out there that are a lot larger. But if you look at firms like us that manage similar amounts of money, you'll typically see a three-person staff, right, for $300 million. We've got nine. Now, the reason for that is we have two full-time analysts, because I have to have analysts, right? Because I can't research all this stuff on my own. I got to have guys doing some of the legwork. We have another portfolio manager, right, that manages our momentum portfolio. He's not an employee, but he's a partner of ours. And then we have four client support people. And part of it is just we believe that we're not here just to manage your money. We're here to help you manage your entire retirement. And we want our clients to be able to call us with problems, not sit on hold with, the TD Ameritrade or somebody else, right? We don't want our clients to have to do stuff. So that's part of it. But the big reason for us being built differently is us managing the money. If you want to run money actively like we do, if you want to be active managers, if you want to pick individual stocks, it requires a lot more work and it requires more manpower. And so he asked me that, right? Why do you guys do it that way? And I mean this with the utmost sincerity. And I don't expect a lot of you to believe me when I say this, because, again, I realize that I'm just a voice on the radio. But that is also why, just in case if you have doubts and you want to know, how can I verify what this guy's saying? We got a whole stack of clients who have offered to be referrals. So you can always call us and get referrals and talk to our clients. And they're awesome people, too. But why do we do it this way? I remember the first client I ever signed up. It's a while ago now. And I was so enamored and so focused on getting the client that I really did, it was the first one. I didn't really know, what would happen after that. And I remember when they said yes and started signing the paperwork, I got a pit in my stomach. And I got a pit in my stomach because all of a sudden the reality of it hit me that these people were going to hand over their life's work and trust me with it. And what's funny is that now that we manage $350 million and have close to 600, 700 clients, something like that, altogether. So not that many households, but people, right? I still get the same feeling. You know, it's somebody giving you their life's work and saying, hey, do good with this. And so the short answer of why we do what we do is that experience. Because I looked around at that and I said, they're hiring me basically to be their sheepdog, right? They're hiring me to protect the flock, to watch over it. Not to just jump on the market ride and take a piece of their earnings, which is what other financial advisors do. And again, it's not malicious. That's the way the industry's set up, right? They're going to tell you to stick with it. They're going to tell you not to sell. And they're going to tell you just to ride the ups and downs. The next question out of your mind should be, well, then what am I paying you for? That's a great question. Again, nothing against them. You're just not getting any value for what you're paying. They're not enhancing. They're taking away. They're reducing your returns, not enhancing them. And that's one part of it. The other part of it is protection. And again, we've talked about this a lot, but in retirement, you don't have time to ride it up and down. You can't ride it up and down. Riding it up and down in and of itself will hurt you. The other thing, like we've talked about, and you don't have to take my word for it, but there are many periods of times in the last 100 years that had you at a 60-40 portfolio in retirement, and you rode it up and down, you got wrecked. You got destroyed. Your retirement got nuked. And if that's occurred in the past, right, the excesses, the overvaluation, the over amount of indebtedness that causes those types of economic conditions, all of those factors are now at record highs, higher than they've ever been in those previous times where you got wrecked. And I just sat there and went, A, you've heard me say this before, but run the business correctly, do it right by the clients, and the money side of it, right, the business side of it, will take care of itself. So we do. Our payroll is much larger than other firms because you're getting a lot more. And it would be so much easier. If I did it the way that other advisors do, and I've done the numbers, I can increase my margins by 40% right now. I could cut my headcount in half, and I could make a lot more money. Why don't we do it that way? Because we're not going to do that to our clients. Because they hired us to take care of their capital, and I am not going to take care of their capital in a cost-effective way for me, right? There is no expense that we won't go to. There is no amount of research that we won't do to try to improve our clients' positions and to try to protect their capital, regardless of economic circumstances or what market conditions are. And like I say to these new clients coming in the beginning, I don't expect you to hear me talking about this on the radio and just trust me. In the beginning, you got to believe us. Eventually, you'll trust us. And that's why I bring up talking to clients, right, as referrals. And having an open door as far as that policy goes. Because we really are partners. Here's the other reason I do it. It's selfish. The other reason we do it the way it is because I know what this market looks like. I know what valuations are. I also know the inevitability of what needs to come. And remember, my income is tied to your performance. So if our clients were to lose 40 or 50%, my income drops 40 or 50%. That's why we tell our clients, you're our partners. You really are. It's not a client relationship. It's a partnership. We bring the expertise, you bring the capital, and we both live with the results. Right? So part of it's just selfish on my part. I know I'm not guaranteeing this, but personally, I know that over time, our approach will produce better results. And it has. Significantly better. On both sides of it, on gains and losses, right? We're killing the market this year. We significantly beat the market last year, and we were down a fraction. Most of our clients were down 5, 6% last March when the market was down 36. That's what an advisor should be doing for you. If they're not improving the outcome in both down markets and up markets, then what on earth are you paying them for? That's why we do what we do. We are the good guys. You may not believe it. You may doubt us. Does it mean that every trade we make is right? No, not saying that. I got all kinds of mistakes. I should do a mistake show, actually. I think we've done that before. I've talked about mistakes. I've done a segment. I should do a mistake show. Now, luckily, those mistakes haven't killed us. Why? Risk management. And you just need it. It's going to improve the... That's why you need to get on the virtual roadshow. That's why you need to listen about our bond replacement strategy. You got, we're not doing it because it's sticky. We're not doing it because it's cool. We're doing it because it works. And you should know that because my pay is based on how good it works. That's how I get paid. Not by selling you stuff. And if that interests you, which it should, right? Actually getting value for the expenses you are paying rather than it being a return reducer, because that's your current relationship. That advisor, whoever's making, it's a return reducer. It's not adding value. So if our approach interests you, if you want somebody with more hands-on control who is, it's a good for the goose, good for the gander type scenario where the cook has to eat his own cooking, call us. Take the 3 minutes it takes to call us and just educate yourself and sign up for the virtual roadshow at bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. It's coming up Thursday, July 22nd at 3 p.m. You guys know the drill. You can also follow me on Twitter at KYR Radio. And you can call us. You don't have to wait for the virtual roadshow either. You can call us, 866-779-RISK. You can set up a meeting with me if you'd like. Or if you don't want to, you can talk to one of our other advisors. So you guys know the drill. Anyway, we got to take a quick break. We're going to be right back with Chase Taylor. Don't want you guys to miss this. Our maven of macro research. He's our guy. Got to take a quick break. We're going to be right back with him. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
What does outside-the-box investing really look like? Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management, and see a side-by-side comparison of your current portfolio versus one Zach would recommend. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com.
How do you know your finances and investments right now in today's economy are positioned for a successful retirement? Well, join me at Zach Abraham's Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow Thursday, July 22nd, right after my show. Zach, I'm excited to be there.
Dory, we've taken Bulwark's entire investment and retirement planning process, the same one you and Suzanne went through, and we've condensed it down into a 30-minute class. We'll answer all the big questions. Do you need estate planning? Long-term care? When should you take Social Security? How much money do you need to retire? And we're also going to show everyone who attends how to protect their portfolio against loss while still growing their assets.
Join me at the Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow with Zach Abraham, Thursday, July 22nd, right after my show at 3. Sign up now at KnowYourRiskRadio.com. You'll get a free copy of Zach's booklet, Common Sense Investing, too. Space is limited for this free live webinar. Reserve now at KnowYourRiskRadio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, registered investment advisor.
Do better in bull markets. Do better in bear markets. Pay less fees in all markets. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management. You can subscribe to Zach's free newsletter, The Bulwark Insider Report, at knowyourriskradio.com.
Are you thinking of retiring in the next 10 years? Did you know you could spend the last of your working years paying into Washington State's new long-term care plan and not get a dime out of it? Beginning next year, this payroll tax forces employees to pay into a long-term care plan. You won't have a choice, and the only way to opt out is to have an existing plan in place. I'm not going to be paying this new tax because my wife and I have a plan through 525 Advisors. I recommend you do the same. Learn about this new payroll tax and new long-term care plans at a free live webinar this Wednesday at 3 p.m. Long-term care is such an important part of retirement planning. A good long-term care plan from 525 Advisors can make sure your care is funded and managed when you need it, protecting your loved ones and everything you've worked hard for. They also have plans that pay you back if you never need it. You think the plan from the state's going to do that? So attend the free live webinar this Wednesday at 3 p.m. Register now, 525longtermcare.com, 525longtermcare.com.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back, and it has been too long. So without further ado, let's kick off all of our favorite parts of the show, the interview segment. And we are joined by our guy, our maven of macro research himself, Mr. Chase Taylor of Pinecone Macro. Chase, how the heck are you, man?
Doing great. How's it going?
Good, good. Does it bother you with my introductions? Because my introductions aren't nearly as formal as, you know, the hedge fund manager that runs like Macro Voices podcast, right? Is that a suitable introduction, Chase, or do you need me to kind of put a bow tie and a tux on that for you?
No, this is more than fine. I actually recorded earlier today with Real Vision, and they asked me if I wanted to be called CEO. And I was like, yeah, I'm running like a really small LLC. I don't want to be called CEO, thanks. That was weird to me when guys run a very, very tiny business and refer to themselves as president and CEO or something. So,
you know what's
funny, the less formal, the better.
Yeah, we're not so small anymore, and I still feel the same way about CEO. It just feels like a self-indulgent, right? I am the CEO of my own castle, right? Anyway, so did you do an interview? Was it a video type deal or just audio?
Video. It'll be out next week, early next week, Tuesday, I think.
You went big time on us, man. You're going to be on Real Vision.
Oh, yeah. Total celebrity, yeah.
I got to get some autographs.
Yeah, I should start calling myself CEO or something.
Yeah, yeah. That's big time though, man. That's congratulations. I need to get like a freeze.
Know Your Risk Radio is big time.
Well, I mean, I think so, right? I mean, that's my take, you know. So anyway, okay, before we get into this, there were some quick hitters that I wanted to throw at you. I'm laughing a little bit today because apparently over the last 24 hours, the global growth fears that were driving down a lot of the value type stuff and commodity type stuff, they've all gone away. So I guess the global growth picture has really picked up in the last 24 hours, huh?
Yeah, that's how that works.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's exactly
right. Yeah, a lot of the last couple of weeks have been just a great opportunity for people to blow a lot of stuff out of proportion. So whether it's OPEC or the Fed. So yeah, it's kind of nice to see some stuff finding solid ground again.
It's really interesting to me though, because no matter what the economic reports are, it doesn't impact the Wall Street darlings, right? The tech, you know, they go up no matter what, right? Good economy, bad for them. Bad economy, good for them, right? It's kind of an all weather type investment. It works all the time. Stonks only go up, man. Okay, so moving more into the macro picture, you've put out a couple really good letters. Well, they're always good. I love your reading your letters and your info. Right now, I think the most pressing issue, and I'm sure you'd agree with me, is the deflation-inflation debate. All of this deflation chatter in the last week and a half has cracked me up because there literally is no data to support it. And before we get into that hardcore, you and I have talked a lot about rates. So we're going to get into deflation, inflation. But one of the things that I've thought about with rates for a long time is, can we glean the same information from rates as we have in the past? Because I look at something like the 10-year, and I will admit, Chase, I will say the three words that you're not supposed to say in this business ever, which is, I don't know. But I look at rates, and it's really hard for me to tell if rates are giving us signals at like they have in the past, or if rates are just a product of where the Fed wants them to be. And so I bring that up because I saw the same thing a couple months ago when rates pulled back, and everybody was saying, boy, you know, rates are pulling back here. You know, maybe there's some fears. And then you got to the end of the week and the Fed released their balance sheet and you realized that virtually all the buying that had driven rates down had been the Fed just ramping up purchases again. So the question I've got is, A, do you think rates are showing us what they've showed us in the past? Is it the same data point with the same value? Or are they just an amalgamation of where central banks want them to be?
I think largely they are where central banks want them to be. I don't think it's the same as it used to be in the past, but I do still think there's a lot of, you know, economic value looking at them. But, you know, whenever you have, but like post QE world, they're not quite the same as they used to be because there's just another huge buyer in the market, and that definitely changes things. And then when you throw in the added layer of the Treasury's general account, where they're ramping that up and then running it down by trillions of dollars, so that impacts how much issuance there is of treasuries dramatically. That's another, you know, kind of really big thumb on the market. So whenever you overlay all of those things, like, that can quiet the pure signal in the noise that we're kind of, you know, we're all used to from, you know, where bond yields were really just showing us more, you know, growth and inflation versus growth and inflation and what the Fed's doing or the Treasury's doing with Treasuries. So it is less of a signal, but it's still plenty of a signal. And I still take it seriously when bond yields are going higher whenever that doesn't seem to make sense, or when they're going lower when it doesn't seem to make sense. So, and the other thing there is they really care a lot about rate of change of growth and inflation, sometimes more than, you know, pure levels. Even if that doesn't make sense, you know, where we were a year ago has a dramatic impact. So I think in the last month we've really started to peak for rate of change purposes anyways, for, you know, versus last year, compared to last year where we were at this time. We've peaked on growth and inflation, so it's going to start kind of fading. Growth and inflation are still going to be very high, higher than we're used to, but on a rate of change basis, they're going to start leaking lower, and I think bonds really care about that. I think, you know, we can all look at that and say they should care about the fact that we probably have a new higher level for growth and inflation than we're used to. We've been stuck in a kind of 0 to 2%-ish, you know, regime for the last 15, 20 years, where now maybe we'll be more like 1 to 4%. For inflation, and then growth, you know, we've been stuck at 2% for a long time or a little less. And now I think you can see growth more like 3% as like kind of a new floor. And if all that's true, I think bond yields should care about the new levels. But for the time being, they really just care about that rate of change. You can tell the market doesn't think anything's actually changed kind of from a secular standpoint, a long-term structural way. And I think that's wrong. And that we have had a more of a change there than the market seems to respect.
I mean, the game has been changed. The other side of it, one of the things that we've been telling our clients, and time will prove that this is correct, which is I don't think that at all, I don't think we're on the cusp of some Weimar Republic type inflation. And the people that are calling for that, a lot of them
have,
are calling that
have for, been for a very long time.
Yeah, for like 13 years. And you know our joke, if you're 13 years early, you're wrong. But I kind of think one of those, I think we're going to get serious inflation that's going to cause problems, but I don't think we're there yet. And the reason I say that is because I think we all do, when we get those deflationary scares, you know what the Fed and the U.S. government are going to do, right? I mean, they've propped this thing up for so long that ceasing to prop it up would in itself become the crisis. I don't know if you – would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you look at the Treasury market, it requires Fed support and Fed buying to really function. If the Fed were to take that away, then Congress would have to start cutting some spending in dramatic ways, which would hurt the economy and would hurt the stock market. That's really not a viable political option, which means it's not a viable option, period.
Yeah, that brings up, and I don't want to go off on the Fed here, but I always love it when any one of them gets on there and says that A, they've got nothing to do with the wealth gap, and B, the government's spending too much, especially the government spending too much. Cause I look at them and I go, that's like, you know, I mean, that, you know, the Fed is essentially the bartender and they've overserved. I mean, they couldn't spend as much as they did if the Fed wasn't,
absolutely,
you know, squaring it away. And so you're sitting there going, yeah, they spend too much. Yeah. Why do they spend too much, guys? Because of what you do, you take all the pain away. Okay, so now moving over to the macro picture, I got to believe this is what you were talking about with Real Vision, was it not? The inflation deflation argument?
Yeah, definitely a lot. And then, you know me, as usual, we talked a lot of energy.
Oh, yeah, shocker, right? So anyway, where are we at, Chase, in this deflation, inflation? What are you seeing? I'll preface that by saying, in my own view, I think there is a rampant inflation. I think that's undeniable. I also think that some of the things that are being called inflation are products of supply chain crimps that will inevitably work themselves out. I think there are other things like lumber that are probably going to be more durable in terms of the inflation, right, or less transitory, to use Fed speak. What is your take, though? I know you look at this stuff a lot deeper, and quite honestly, whatever your take is going to be mine. What is your take on the inflation versus deflation and where we're currently at?
Yeah, it is very, you know, idiosyncratic, different. All these different sources of inflation are just so different from each other now. And I mean, you mentioned lumber, it's actually 56% off its highs, which is sort of interesting in this market. Granted, that's fallen all the way back to what used to be like wildly high. So it's not exactly low.
Right.
And And yeah, we have to build a lot more houses, so it may struggle to go a lot lower than where we're at now. I think there are some sources of very durable inflation, like energy, like probably food, and then there are sources that are just going to go away. Like a lot of the supply chain stuff with chips and with cars. House prices are
good. All right. Unfortunately, due to time constraints, we've got to cut the interview off there. But as always, guys, you want to hear this. Chase has made us a lot of money. He's as sharp as they come. And I think this is a really important topic, because whether to expect inflation, deflation, I think is going to be the name of the game over the next several years, certainly over the next year and a half. And so I think this is kind of the picture. Anyway, you don't have to wait for the show. Just Google Know Your Risk Radio Podcast. It's on iTunes, it's on Stitcher, it's on Podbean, pretty much every podcast service out there. And you can just hit subscribe. So you get the new shows sent to your inbox. You listen whenever you want. A lot of clients listen to them when they're out working in the yard, traveling back and forth to work, whatever the case may be. If you want to put your kids to sleep, you put on a finance show, that'd do the trick too. so anyway, and also, our roadshow, our virtual roadshow coming up Thursday, July 22nd. We're already about a third full. I've typically been getting 120 to 130 people with a max capacity of 100. Make sure you sign up. Doesn't cost anything. We run you through our entire program, show you the performance, how it's done, estate planning, long-term care, Social Security. We cover it all. Our entire planning process in 30 minutes with a Q&A session. You're not going to want to miss that. So go to Bulwark Capital Management. Sign up for that while there's still space. Also, you can follow me on Twitter at KYR Radio. Kind of get our in-week thoughts about things that are going on. You guys know the drill. Anyway, have a fantastic weekend. We will be back next week. Got the big golf tournament, the Club MGI Member Guest Invitational next week. So getting geared up, trying to sharpen the wedges for that. Anyway, wish me luck. But we'll see you next week. We're doing the show regardless. You know, like the Postal Service, neither rain nor snow or sleet or hail. Right, it doesn't stop this. We keep rolling, baby. Anyway, have a great weekend. We'll be back next week. This is Know Your Risk Radio on 770 KTTH, 97.3 Cairo, and KXL down in Portland. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week. This is the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham now at knowyourriskradio.com. Zach will be back with more Know Your Risk Radio next Saturday at noon on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH.
Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.